Well, I am Melissa Maxwell Doherty at Grand Forks, North Dakota. I don't know that this particular book would be of help to you, but I read this a couple years ago and I thought this is definitely one when our kids get a little bit older. It's called Fixing Your Frazzled Family.
Oh, yeah.
F word, fixing your frazzled family. It's a smaller book than this, and I can't remember who wrote it. It comes, I think, from a Christian perspective. Raleigh Martinson, professor at Luther Seminary, he's kind of, at least in the ELCA, people think of him in terms of Lutheran youth presence. He recommended it. And it also gives to do things at the end, some things to think about, things that you could just slip in and do. It was very helpful to read, and I'm going to reread it again.
Great, thanks.
Fixing Your Frazzled.
By whom again?
Well, I can't remember.
Okay, so I'll just skip it.
And I don't even know who the publisher is. But with a title like that.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
Probably the Oxford Fortress.
Another one for dealing with teenagers that was recommended by our high school counselors, and we haven't read it yet, but it was called Get Out of My Life, But First Would You Drive Me to the Mall?
We've talked about listening and feelings. Are you trying some things out? Are some things working?
But, yeah. Failing.
We had a good one yesterday. The hamburgers. I don't know how your kids relate to the hamburgers, but it was too black. Mm-hmm. The stripes were too black.
We were going to go on a family hike, and then my daughter ended up going to the dock, and then my husband bowed out. So I said to my son, do you still want to come on this hike with me? And he said, to tell you the truth, you know, I really don't like hiking anymore. And I said, yes, you do.
She feels she's too old for Narnia, and I think it is tough. There are 39 kids in there, and that's a lot, and she wants to be just with the other couple of friends. And so yesterday she wanted to do lapidary, and we signed up, and it was, I guess it was a 9:30, and I don't know why, I thought it would go for an hour, but we got there, and then it took a while to get the stone cut and chosen, and then it was like two to 5 minutes actually working the stone, and then it was over. Okay, goodbye, see you tomorrow. And so at that point, her daughter and she were with me. Okay, it's time to go back to Narnia. And she was really upset, and I think part of it was she was very disappointed that she had more time to work on this crafting, and she was very tired of being up the night before, and she didn't want to go back there. So finally, I was kind of mad, but I was kind of saying, okay, I understand. So we went up to the room and talked a little bit, and I said, I understand you're upset about the stone thing. I thought it was pretty sharp too. And so then she said, well, I think I'm going to take a nap. I said, that's fine. I need to go to this class. I really want to see your talk. I really want to go and be there. And And then she said, tomorrow, can I sign up for this craft? And I said, no, I'm going to this class. And so she said, what class is it? And I said, well, it's how to talk to your kids and be a better parent. And she said, mommy, you're really a good parent. You don't need to go. Feeling that I was being understanding. And she normally doesn't like to stay by herself in the room doing something quiet. She's a very active kid, but she stayed there for an hour and drew a card and made a card. So
that helps me to know that, because Kyle and I are going to do lapidary at 9:30, and he is a child who wants advanced warning. Like if I say it's time to go, we hardly ever do that. It's, you know, you see us doing this, it means you've got how many minutes? Yeah. Then it doesn't mean we want to fight, but we may not have a fight. So you know, I'll say it's a short, and then we'll love to come back, and it would be longer to say.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That helps to know that. That's a shock to both of us that we were not short so fast.
Last night we're sitting there. And, Kyle's mad because somebody threw his frisbee in a way he didn't like it. Found it and everything, he just didn't like it that an adult did this to his frisbee. And so he's in worship and he's just totally grumped out. And it's too long, it's too boring. No kids' time, he likes kids' time. I said, can we sometime not go even though we have to? So I said, and I remember the story that some other parent told me while I'm here, and I thought, yeah, sometime we're here 2 weeks, and sometime we're going to break the rule and not go to Vespers. It'll kill me, because I love it, but, you know, it's tough. Well, okay, well, it's not easy. If you look at TV, it's sitcoms, coffee shows, whatever it is, a play, the actors come in, they go out, it's over. You know, relationships pretty much get solved in about 12 minutes with a couple interruptions. Well, it's not that way in real life. In real life, we make lots of demands of our children. Make your bed, brush your teeth, put your shoes on, don't use your hands as a weapon, you know, whatever it is, play the piano. And every time we make those demands of our kids, we are inviting a fight. It's a battle it's going to be. Other times, we prevent them from doing what we want. Nathan and Kyle, they see a bed in a hotel, at our house, wherever, and it's a trampoline. It just is. Kyle thinks it's his birthright to sit in the front seat of the car, as he understands. So every time we say, no, you can't do that, we're taking away what we want. And so we have this bed. And it is hard to get kids to cooperate. Did any of you bring pencils today or writing pencils? I have one. Somebody wants to share. You know, you don't have to. But think about in your average typical day, and you can do this a day at Holden if you want, or you can do a day at home. In a general day, I see to it that my children do the following. And I don't know, my list could be much longer than this. I think I've only given you 5 spots. But just don't feel compulsive, but just, you know, some things that you generally see to it, you feel responsible that your children do morning, afternoon, and evening. And then are there other things that you want to make sure that your children don't do in the morning, the afternoon, and the evening? Think about that. Skills, things that they want to do and not to do.
If it's in the school year, I'm done. It's in the morning. Okay.
You've communicated to them, you're not physically present.
Pretty much, mostly.
So even if you're not there, you're, there are certain things you might.
But it's not really.
It's not verbal.
Not really. I mean, it's pretty much this one.
That's great.
It's a real different, and I'm in a different parenting situation where, I'm worried that I'm too late. Maybe I. Yeah.
Maybe the two of.
Well, I mean, it's been right, and it's just getting, it's such a trouble. You know, and I was wondering,
She has another, siblings without rivalries. It's up, this is on the top.
Seems like a regular student.
Yeah.
Who's the person?
Two women, Adela Raker and Jane Maslisch. Yeah, the siblings, they have a whole day.
And when you're not there, you're not.
They're gonna be fighting with them. You know what I did about the front seat?
What?
Okay, I have three kids, and they all wanna sit in the front seat. We're going to school, and you're pulling your hair out, I gotta get torqued, right? So we have front seat day. They rotate, and they know which day is their day. I don't even have to know.
We do it by the week.
I just, you know, each one, they, there's three of them. Andrea goes first, and the next, and then they just rotate.
We do it by the week, but they may be actually more helpful, because a week is a long time.
Yeah, they just, every day they meet, it's my day, I get the front seat.
Our kids have the front seat, and then they also, that should have a couple of things that go along with it. And so they know exactly where to go. His prom goes is when we're on a long trip.
Yes.
The week that Abigail gets too much, so then we write the plans.
I don't know why this worked for me, but I have this constant fight, front seat, they're screaming and yelling in the front. Finally, I said, okay, this is it. No one rides in the front anymore. You guys belong in the back seat, it's safer. Kevin's so little that the strap doesn't really fit him properly, I don't feel. And so in the back, he's safer. And I said, you know, if I were to stop suddenly, you guys would just be flying and it wouldn't be that safe. But what about you, Mom? I said, well, I have to drive the car. So that was it. And it's been like 3 weeks. And we go out to the car.
That's
a lot.
That's
an age. We just go to the back seat handle and it's never an issue anymore.
No, I don't know which side.
No. You're right. It's not totally clear. Andrea will get in and she's there. She is planted because that is the side school is on and she is going to get out here. And so Kevin, you know, instead of walking around and getting in, he has to get over and her legs are there, her path. He's clambering around and oh, it drives her crazy. Kevin, just come around here and come in with me. Oh, that's too easy.
Well, and it drives her crazy.
But we don't fight about it anymore.
What's the things some of you do in the morning? Do you see what that your kids do in the morning?
My kids have to make their bed.
Make their bed.
Yeah. Brush their teeth.
Eat breakfast.
Yeah.
Dress.
Put their stuff together for school.
Yeah, their lunch. Don't forget your lunch. It's 5 miles back to get it.
Right. After your shoes on.
Come over. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eat again.
Practice.
Yeah. That's it, the dishwasher.
Set the table on chores.
Evening.
Clean the table.
Straighten up the room.
Use manners at the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
Feed the dogs.
Get them home.
Put away what mom
did. Clear this stuff out of the living room.
Are there things that you want them not to do in the morning?
Wine.
Watch TV.
Ooh. Yes.
Yeah. Fight with their sibling.
Wine. Yeah. Watch TV.
Talk to their sibling.
Yeah. Kick your sticks.
I'm like,
I'm like,
into the car of all their stuff from school.
Yeah, that's all you.
Never do that. Don't jump on the couch. Don't.
Bike.
Well, it's the weapons. I don't know. The weapons get to be. It's just sticks, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They are, yeah.
We don't buy guns in our family, so we have.
Okay.
Is it a toilet paper?
I know.
We have all kinds of guns. We go to the. What about the evening?
Don't have a tantrum.
Don't have a tantrum.
That can be a 24-hour.
Yes, it can.
Seems to be mostly the afternoon and evening.
Sort of like a conventional thunderstorm kind of process.
Yeah, but the energy builds up.
Don't stay up too late.
Limit the amount of TV.
What are some things that you use to get them to do or not do these things, whether they work or not?
Yell.
Yell, okay. Yell, that's fair. I don't yell, but my kids will say I yell. I don't think I'm yelling, but it's, yeah. I must be like a witch or something in my face, because they read it.
Right?
They do.
Stir around.
I don't mean that. Look. Do you ever just look at your kids?
Yeah.
The look.
Yeah, I think I do that. What are the things you do to try to get them to cooperate?
Well, for the cleanup, you know, tasks, you know, sometimes I use that. Your backpack is sitting on the living room floor.
Can you describe? Is that a good word?
Yeah.
Don't accuse.
Don't you try not to accuse. Yeah, that's not clear. Not to accuse.
On the negative side, we negotiate.
That's a negative?
I would say
you so. Okay, tell me how that is a negative.
Because this is running to hold out.
You know, for better reward, better carrot.
They're not doing what you want them to do, so you start discussing it, how it's going to
happen. Yeah, okay, you do this, and we'll do this. Make deals.
Yeah.
Make deals. I don't think we've had one meal at Holden where Nathan hasn't tried to make a deal on how much he's going to eat. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't do it at the ice cream store.
No.
I'll eat 5 bites since I'm 5. And
sometimes I just try to separate or ignore, you know. Especially when it's sibling stuff, just try to separate.
Separate them.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that imaginary line.
Yeah.
You separate it. And ignore. Sometimes I think I pick up my battle, mm-hmm. what I'm really going to be upset about.
About just asking.
Asking. A simple request.
Something to ask questions.
Like,
why did you do that?
Why did you do that?
Or how do you think I feel when you do that?
Okay.
Or how do you think your sibling feels when you do that?
I think this must be a technique that they use a little bit in school, because Kyle was in the first grade, would start saying, when there was a little conflict, well, maybe. We sit down. Now, how would you feel? And he started doing this thing that the teacher was teaching them. And I think it was a negotiation skill. You know, I think it was a good thing that they were doing that.
But we sometimes sort of take away the carrot. And if something is expected to happen and the behavior is not matched, we'll say that thing will not happen unless.
Yes.
Ultimatum.
Ultimatum. Okay, I don't know if I spelled that wrong. A consequence, that's the word I was thinking of. The logical consequence.
Well, and then if they go for that logical consequence, if they decide not to do whatever it is and take the consequence, then the really hard thing is to say, you know, I know you're supposed to say something like, well, I see that, you know, it's too bad that you didn't pick up, you know, you didn't get to go to the store. I'm sorry that it happened to you, but that's almost impossible to not say, I told you, not at all. If you picked up your room, you could go to the store, and you didn't do it, so why are you crying? You know, it's really hard not to do that, and I know that's the big no-no, you know.
I'm sorry you chose.
Let it be their choice.
They've all understand that, and clearly, the minute you say choice, they'll start to think, okay.
Yeah, do you want to take a bath or a shower?
Or even you say, if you choose to do this, this will happen, if you choose to do that, but the deal is you are choosing.
You are choosing, it's up to you. Some other things we didn't put up here, blaming, manipulating.
Threat.
All kinds of things like that. I'm going to pass some cards out. And when this person reads this, how often we're the kids and we hear this, and we got a couple more.
I think you get one.
Would you like one?
Okay.
How would you feel if your parents said this to you?
Your dirty fingerprints are on the door again. Why do you always do that? What's the matter with you anyway? Can't you ever do anything right? How many times do I have to tell you to use the doorknob? The trouble with you is you never listen.
Shame?
Yeah.
Heard shame and guilt. Uselessness?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guilt?
No self-worth.
Yeah, you feel this big.
It's below freezing today and you're wearing a light jacket. How dumb can you say that? That's really a stupid thing to do.
There's two words were in there.
Stupid word, the S word. And dumb.
And then you complain when they get F's in high school.
Yeah.
After you've been calling them stupid there.
Sure. Little self-fulfilling prophecy there. Then that child grows up thinking, I am stupid and dumb.
Just touch that lamp once more and you'll get a snack.
Threat. You know, and I don't know where you are on, you know, spanking and those kinds of things, but whether or not you said the smack thing, that you still get the threat. So every once in a while, you know, it just comes out, the threat. You know, if you dare do that, and I'm sure it happened to our household, then we just think, you know, if I'm trying for my way to discipline my kids, threats, when they are almost 6 and 9, what am I going to use when they're 13 and they're big? You know, what am I thinking? This is not going to work. I need to learn new things to do because it's not going to work when they're looking me in the eye.
One of the things that I remember reading, and it's humiliating to realize how little I practice it, but it's to show respect to your children. And the kind of language we're using here, I would never use, I hope, with my wife or with anyone else in this room. But because you're a little person, it's okay for me to talk to you like that. And then I said, is that right?
No.
And I said, obviously not. As I listen to the tone of these kinds of things,
that's how you say it.
I think there's a lot to be learned from how we talk to adults whom we have to respect or that we genuinely respect. And we could apply the tone of language and some of the strategies, perhaps, to how we deal with children.
Last time we were at Woven, we did a class, and the one thing I took away from that was the issue of respect. And she said, if you are in an employee situation, your employer is probably not going to ream you out publicly, but it's going to, hopefully, you want them to take your side and speak to you one-on-one. And in the same way, if you're disciplining your kids, take them aside and have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Especially like when grandparents are around and you feel like, oh, I want to be a good parent, and they really want you to be a good parent. And we discipline at the table to remove, just leave the situation. Mm-hmm. And that's been, we don't always do it, but
I was going to say, teaching has really helped me be respectful. I mean, these are
people who I serve,
yes,
and I want to be respectful of them, and it just carries over.
You lied to me about your report card, didn't you? Do you know what you're going to be when you grow up? A person nobody can trust.
I want you to clean up your room right this minute.
Now, what's the big word on the top of that one?
Commands.
Commands. Commanding them. I've used that one. Right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to count again, and I want that done. Yeah. Yeah. Not helpful.
Don't like men. Their mothers were counters. Yeah.
Do you think that was a nice thing to do, to grab that book for me? I can see you don't realize how important good manners are. Now let me explain something to you. What you have to understand is that if we expect people to be polite to us, then we must be polite to them in return. You wouldn't want anyone else to grab from you, would you? And you shouldn't grab from anyone else. We do unto others as we would have others do unto us. Do you understand what I've been saying?
Turn her around.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Instead of giving eye messages.
Yes, really. Watch it. You'll burn yourself. So I read all these warnings.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Careful, you'll get hit by a car. Don't climb there. Do you want to fall? Put on your sweater or you'll catch a bad cold.
And what do all those things do?
I mean, you don't know that if you don't wear that sweater, they're going to get... I mean, we don't have those kind of parent powers. And it's not healthy those children be responsible, is it?
Will you two stop that screaming? What are you trying to do to me? Make me sick? Give me a heart attack? Wait till you have children of your own. Then you'll know what aggravation is. Do you see these gray hairs? That's because of you. You're putting me in my grave.
And the one yells, louder, louder.
A test tomorrow and you left your book in school? Oh, smart. That was a brilliant thing to do. Is that what you're wearing? Polka dots and plaid? You ought to get a lot of compliments today. Don't tell me you lost your lunch money again. Boy, I can really count on you to be responsible, can't I?
Sarcasm.
Why don't you dress? Why can't you be more like your brother? He always gets his work done ahead of time. Lisa has such beautiful table manners, you'd never catch her eating with her fingers. Why don't you dress the way Gary does? He always looks so neat. Short hair, shirt tucked in. It's a pleasure to look at him.
What would your grandma think?
Kind of in the same boat as the sarcasm with the undertones of it. But you know, you get there, my other daughter is 12, and she could wear, and does wear, the same clothes. The same blue hair shirt, the same blue sweatshirt, and I'm just getting there washing real quick. And sometimes I will just say, nobody's going to think you have anything different. Like, I just get on this and I can't get off it because I'm worried about what are they thinking about her? And I think I'm doing her a favor by stepping in and let, really.
It pushes a button of what you want other people to think about your kids. Mm-hmm. And maybe even what you want them to think about yourself, your parent. Mm-hmm. And the good thing is you're aware that it's pushing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe we can think through it as we go through this.
Please, you know, make our normal.
Yeah, when I go my paper.
See, now we worry about what other people think about us.
That's a reality.
Yeah, it is.
Gets us.
Because you always wanted to fit in. You know, you don't
that's it. She's a little
how I am.
She's an awkward age,
Right, you don't want the other kids
to look cute.
I know.
Yeah. And I know that's it.
Maybe if you said, hey, is there? Let's go to the store. Have you tried that? And see if she.
Oh, yeah.
And she still wants to wear the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wearing what I got her.
That might be John.
It's a passive.
John, this is a little bit more about that list as I was. Thinking mentally what I say to my children every day, I am running their lives rather than their being responsible for brushing their teeth or whatever. And I just think of what that must be like to hear that day in and day out, mm-hmm. rather than, because what I want them to become are responsible adults. And if I am the one who is organizing, I am the one who is telling them every day, every hour, this is what you do next. How are they going to learn?
See, then I don't do it. And I'm wondering, oh, have I done enough? I mean, are they, I just cringe that I've missed something along the way because they are on their own. And my daughter was when she was five. So it's gone early on. And, no, I don't count much. I
never
should.
No, but someone told me one time, oh, you know, oh, your kids sometimes can be like puppets, you know, and you're the puppeteer. But when you're not there, then they're just going to fall, you know, how they can't, you know, and that's a good, I think about that sometimes, you know, and how if I want them to go here or there, come on, we got to go here, we got to go there, and they're not involved in the process, and then they just feel like they don't belong or they're not significant in the family.
That's where the open table, or the, what did you call it the other day? About the table, the family table, or the family?
Oh, at night, family when meeting. They all get together.
Family meeting. We have to
brainstorming.
That would be a really nice.
I added that in when that person brought that up to me, and I said, yeah, we need a family meeting. Yeah. So we do that on Friday nights, and the kids know. They remind me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was thinking about the car part, and you say they know their day.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I have four, and then my schedule is always different every week, so some days we don't go out. And so that person would feel like, well, they missed their day.
Well, they don't. If they were, they would still get their day the next day.
Mm-hmm. They just take turns.
Yeah.
That's how we do
so
it.
So we didn't go anywhere, so it's still her turn, so.
Well, what if you have family meetings, and they're all begrudging this family meetings? Oh, this again. And they just stand there. Tight lips.
Yeah.
Dinner as a family again. I mean, I have a different category than you,
yeah.
but it's not. I mean, you're really trying. You let them have it.
Well,
you know, you give them the opportunity. You feel like you're losing it.
So they're still important. They need to have different.
More.
They
still like need me more.
Yes. And it's different than when you know if your child is five or something like that. You know, again, I don't have adolescents, so I don't know what, some days I think I do, but I really don't. And people tell me that they find other meals. And sometimes, you know, we had family devotions always in Lent, it seems like not other times, but I would go reluctantly.
Yeah.
But it was just, here's the deal, you go. And so you have the family dinner, or you have the family, the table where you are. Talking these things out. So next week we are going to get into autonomy, how to increase autonomy, and so you may want to, even if you're leaving this week, go, you know, borrow my book or something, and because this gives some good stuff there on increasing autonomy of kids, because it's about roots and wings. Here are some ways that they suggest to increase autonomy, and again, we use cartoons, and I just really like them. I think they're very good. Okay, so describe what you see, and this was one of the things we came up with. Instead of blaming or commanding, describe. You're so irresponsible, you always start to tell them, then forget about it. You want us to have a flood? How about Johnny, the water in the tub is getting close to the top? What do you think Johnny's going to do?
He can turn on me what to do.
He's probably going to turn it off.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to do that when somebody's not blaming you or commanding you to do it. You haven't taken your dog out all day. You don't deserve to have a pet. I see Rover pacing up and down near the door. Now, you know, it would be great if your kid just ran out and do it. They may not, but at least they know Rover needs to be taken out. How many times do I have to tell you to turn off the bathroom light after you use it? The light's on in the bathroom. Get off the phone this instant. Jill, I need to make a phone call now. I'll be off in 1 minute. My mom used to, whenever I'd get talking too long, especially like in sixth grade, she'd bring me a timer. Just over 3 minutes. And when it bing, I had to get off. That was actually, I thought, a good technique.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah,
that
was big timer.
Describe what you see.
I think with all of those, I feel like, I hope I do the ones on the right, except when I'm stressed.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And that's when
everything flies.
What stops you from doing those things when you're not stressed?
Like if I do something like this, especially right now while I'm kind of immersed in this and thinking all this, I'll say the stupid things, it just blurts out. And then I backtrack, I backtrack. I just go back, start over.
Give me an example of how you would do that, for the backtracking.
Oh, okay. But Nathan says, the amber is too brown. Maybe I use command. You've got to eat a healthy meal here. No threat. There's no ice cream unless you eat your dinner. Okay. And so then I think, oh no, okay. And I'll say, describe. Your plate is still on your food, and your tummy is still hungry. Then he looks at it, and then he's going to make a choice. Am I going to eat or what? And then he may negotiate. But I would go back and do. I'd say what this thing, and then I'd
try to say that.
I just go back.
And children are forgiving too. If you just say, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I shouldn't have said that. Mm-hmm.
What a beautiful gift to give to children.
They will give you another chance.
Sometimes when I describe, my daughter will say, so what? well, I trust that you figure out what to do or whatever. I think you're old enough for me not to tell you. Yeah, try to increase autonomy. I don't know, but
it's good. How about this? Give information. You can try this as a second. Who drank the milk? Left bottle standing out. Okay, so accusing or insulting? Kids, milk is turned sour when it isn't refrigerated. Now this one is going to work when they're little, but when they're 13, they know this. So you got to come up with a new plan. Because then they're going to feel insulted. That's disgusting. Look at the apple cores on your bed. You look like a pig. Maybe true, but you still can't say it, right? Apple cores belong in the garbage. Better way. It's much more respectful, and then your child could say, Mom trusts me enough to put it away. If I catch you writing on the walls once more, you're going to get a spanking. How about walls are not for writing on, papers for writing? That always sounds But I think the finger is interesting. I think the finger could move in.
Yeah.
And just give the paper to your child and then say, walls are not for writing as opposed to this. It would never occur to you to give me a hand with the housework, would it? Blame, shame. How about it would really be helpful if the table were set for dinner now? But I'm watching TV. Would you like to set it now or in 1 minute? Or, you try that. Now, of course, they're never going to say no. Give information. This one works fairly well with my kids. Instead of talking in long paragraphs, the old lecture, just get down to the bottom line. Keep it short. I've been asking kids to get exams, and all you've been doing is clowning around. I agree that before you watch TV, you agree that before you watch TV, you'd be in your pajamas, and I don't see a sign of anyone doing anything about it. Have your parents said these things? No.
Yes.
How about just pajamas? Or the door, whatever it is. We've talked about lunches. Look at you, you're walking out the door without your lunch again. You'd forget it if your head wasn't attached. That's a terrible thing to say. How about your lunch? Oh, yeah, and you run back and get it. You promised before we got God that you would feed him every day. Now, this is the third time I had to remind you this week, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. Mom and I take our turns, and it's not fair. We have to do the whole burden. Billy, the dog. Just quick one word.
I could just get a little picture of
my daughter. Yeah, my daughter plays the violin when she wanted to play the violin. Right?
Right.
So you say, Andrea, when you get home, you know, practice your violin. Will you practice your violin or whatever? So then she doesn't do it. So then I remind her, and then she says, you don't have to remind me, you know.
You're not
you told me, da-da-da-da-da. But you know, what are you going to do? Because you know she wasn't going to do it. So what do you say?
Violin?
So you just say that once, and it's, then it's, you just see she
keep
does
up.
It, I guess.
Then, here's another way. There's, and here's another way. And, you, and again, sometimes you can use increasing intensity, you know, as you go through this. Stop that. You're a pain in the neck. How about, I don't like having my sleeve pulled. Talk about your own feelings. I feel like an ogre when I'm reminding you about playing the violin. I don't want to feel that way. With Kyle, he has a lot of things he's doing, and so sometimes we'll do when we get home. Okay. After they snack and relax and everything. Okay, here are the three things you need to have. You know, they have chores, practicing piano. Which order are you going to do them in? You want to do this now, this now? And then he gets to pick. And, but, you know, and then he if he chooses, he generally, so far, he generally does it. What's wrong with you? You always leave the screen door open. Not in class. It bothers me when the screen door is left open. I don't want flies around her food. And clearly, Mom's, you know, she's not being sweetest and cream here. She's very direct. Right? And she honestly feels that way. Yeah. It'd be a terrible thing to say, it bothers me when the screen is left open. Yeah, I mean,
I know.
It bothers me. You say what you feel. Kids need to hear our feelings, and we need to hear theirs. You're rude. You always interrupt. I feel so frustrated when I want to start to say something and can't finish. Better way to say it. What do you mean, I love, have to take you? Ooh, how about, when they say I have to do something, it just, I get really upset. You sound like a spoiled brat. How about, I object to being told I have to do anything. What I'd like to hear you say is, Dad, I'm ready to go now. Can you take me now? I need to take that one and put it up on my refrigerator. Because Kyle says I have to do all kinds of things. And I do all the bad things, you know. But this one I need to use. Another. Now this is interesting. Write a note, okay? Just get tired of saying it, write a note. Put a note to the violin.
It's time to practice.
Sally, I miss you.
Yeah,
I'm lonely. Come play me. Okay. Try it. See, you know, you did it every day. It might not work, but yeah. Hairs in the drain, give me a pain. Plug your stopped up sink. Yeah? Cute. Before you turn this on, think, have I done my homework? Have I practiced? This is interesting. This is a Saturday morning. Saturday morning, the kids wake up and they're at mom and dad's door. Shh, mommy and dad are sleeping. A little later, hi, come on in, love mom and dad. Mm-hmm. A note on the door. Dear Sam, I know you're busy with sports and study, but the papers really need time, old buddy, thanks, Dad. This was interesting. This is a real story from a real mom. Two little kids who could not read. She flew in an airplane. The kids opened it. They looked at the words. They knew they couldn't read them. They ran into her, asked them to read, and she said, toys away after play. Love, Mom. And then they went back, and they did it.
That's cute.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a real life mom who had clever. Write a note. So when you put them all together, you get this. Now, how many of you enjoy wet towels on your bed? They come in while you're in your room, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Describe what you see.
There's wet towel on the bed. Maybe nothing happens. The towel is getting my blanket wet. The towel! Okay, and you can see it's increasing intensity. Or, I don't like sleeping in a wet bed. I get upset when I get into a bed and my bed is wet. You know, when you say describe what you see, you can just simply say, I see a wet towel on my bed. You can get that simple. Write a note above the towel rack. Please put me back so I can dry. Thanks, your towel. Right? It could be. It could work. Mm-hmm. Right? I think it really could. Yeah. Okay. We have a few minutes, and think about this. And maybe we could get into twos or threes. I think there are 15 of us. How about we get you into groups of threes? Because I think that would be worked out. And see how far we can get in each of these. Figure out the unhelpful statement, the thing that would just flip out of your mouth. That should be fun. A skilled response, a different one. What could you say? And then which of the skills was it? Describing, saying with the word, leaving a note, telling them how you feel. Which of these five skills, or if you can think about others, might you have used? See if you get through a couple of them. Or if one doesn't, if you're jamming up on one, go to the next. How about this? Your child keeps leaving their sneakers in the kitchen doorway. Your skill, yeah. We all know the unhelpful. Everybody with half a brain would leave their sneakers in the doorway. Yeah. But the skill is response. Use a word. That quick, she says there, they say there, that teenagers like that. The simple one word. And I think the reason why that might be is I remember I hated the lashes.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Lecture 327. The word. What else? Anybody else found another one that just they could maybe really hang on to?
Give info is quite helpful.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Especially when they're young. That helps them become self-reliant to know those things.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah.
You know, one thing that when we develop these methods, we need to recognize that the children are going to use them in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they need to have the right to do that. And in our group, on the second one, I used that single word. But it just occurred to me that if my child were to use a single word on me, I may not appreciate it.
Okay. Give me an example of something where they might use it back and return to you.
Maybe it's my responsibility to have breakfast on the table in a particular morning.
Okay.
Dad, breakfast.
Breakfast. And how would it what would bubble up in you?
Well, of course, it would depend on how they said it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Their tone, obviously, is. Yes.
And might it also depend on what you were doing at the time they said it? I mean, if you were obviously trying to get breakfast on the table, that's different from if you're sitting reading the newspaper.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I probably, regardless of the tone, would be better at responding to information.
Okay.
You know, like, Dad, I'm hungry. Rather than Dad, breakfast.
It would feel bossy, authoritarian.
Yeah. Well, because we talk about wanting to respect our children, but the reality is, we have a little different responsibility than they have. Our responsibilities to one another are slightly different, are greater than I tend to think that I think I trap myself into feeling like we should command more respect than maybe we have to give them in some circumstances. Because I don't, logically, that doesn't make any sense.
Another thing, with the breakfast, I guess that I would encourage them or hope that they would start to see Dad's supposed to fix breakfast, it's not done yet, I need to eat, and say, Dad, what can I do to help you with breakfast? And this would be a good response to engender in our children so that they become helpful in a way where they don't feel like they're being waited on. and that it's our job to do everything for them, and that they're not able to offer. I feel as Christians we're supposed to serve others, you know, that's part of it, and we need to teach them that too. You know, if you see that I'm struggling to get breakfast on the table, instead of saying breakfast, a good response from you, and I mean, it's our job to teach them these things.
I need help.
If you can see that I need help, could you help me? I know that you're capable of doing that, and it doesn't matter what their age is. In that case, I know that you're capable of helping me if you're really hungry and you're sitting there waiting for breakfast.
But I agree. I wouldn't want a single word response.
No, I agree too. I agree.
So this one may not work for you. It seems too
rude.
Authoritarian.
But when it works down to that, when you work up to that, like you said, it gets a little more intense. You know, when you use
first you
describe and then
quite neutral.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then if you have to work up to that.
I think maybe if we talk to kids ahead of time, say, you know, when I'm getting really frustrated, I'll get to the point that I'll just say this one word. Maybe, you know, if it's understood ahead of time, that I'm not yelling at you giving a long speech because I'm...
I'm being succinct to you.
This is one struggle we have. My son will speak real rudely to me. And I'll say to him, that really hurts my feelings when you talk to me that way. We need to all speak respectfully to one another. Well, you don't respect me, you made me go to time out. And, you know, I try to teach them that that's a choice, you know, that's a natural consequence of what they've done, you know. But, you know, but that's something that it seems like he's always coming up with.